It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. What is the scent of that sound? Or put it a different way, what does a scent sound like? That is a question that has been thoroughly considered by the co-founders of Clue Perfumery in Chicago. Fragrance, like music, can be visceral. It can also be ethereal. So how do we describe it? With words and with sounds. For Morel Map, one of Clue's first fragrances, Laura and her team designed that soundscape. Clue was started in 2022 by childhood friends, perfumer Laura Oberwetter and designer Caleb Vandenboom. Laura and Caleb, thanks for coming on the show. Welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
I should say we taped this conversation ahead of time, so we are not taking calls for this part of the show, but you can always let us know what you thought by emailing talk@21stshow.org. All right, Laura, I'm going to start with you. How does one get into fragrance as a profession?
Yeah, so it's not easy in the United States. I was originally working in live event production and was spending my lunch breaks going to Millennium Park and Googling how can I change industries and start working in the fragrance industry. And there are no kind of accredited perfumery schools in the US. They're mostly based in France, which is kind of classically perfume. But luckily, one of the benefits of COVID was there's this one institution in LA, it's called the Institute of Art and Olfaction, and they offer just kind of community classes on understanding scent, and they moved all their programming online. So I was able to kind of begin dipping my toe into learning about the materials. And then the rest was really kind of self-study and self-teaching.
You came up in Wisconsin, right? How did you get interested in scent? I don't even know that I really thought of this as a job that people do, right? How did you get into this?
Yeah, I didn't think of it as a job either. I mean, I was always interested in scent as a kid, and like my parents would always kind of, if they were cooking, they would be showing me the spices and asking me to identify them. When I was in Target with my mom, I was smelling every soap on the shelf. So they kind of like, it was just sort of fun for me. Like they called me the nose and they were kind of training me, I guess. But yeah, I always thought it was not a viable career, especially for kind of like a girl with no training from Wisconsin. We had to get pretty crafty and pretty serious about self-study in order to make it into something that it's become today.
I want to talk to you about how exactly that works, like in the lab, if you call it a lab, I don't even know. We'll get to that, or in the shop. But Caleb, let me bring you to the conversation. Talk a little bit about your background and how you came to work with Laura and how music comes into this story.
First, Laura and I have been friends since we were kids, basically. We kind of grew up in the same area in Wisconsin together, went to different states for school, and then kind of both found ourselves back here in Chicago. And it was fun for me to watch as a friend, like Laura starting to get obsessed with perfume making, experimenting, all these different trials. I'm a studied graphic designer, and I've been working at a design agency commissions projects for several years and kind of been excited about the idea of doing something with a little bit more authorship or, you know, just like a longer term project. So much of my work was, you know, for outside companies where you're kind of laboring over the brand and then you pass it off and kind of never get to touch it again. And so this has been an exciting project for me, is kind of this living, breathing document. But Laura was getting so excited about this work, you know, during COVID years, showing me tons of different trials, and you know, they got really exciting and special all of a sudden. And I was like, let me kind of help you package this up and present it to the world. We primarily launched online first, and it's such a interesting challenge to kind of bridge the gap with fragrance when you can't smell it online. You know, what gets somebody interested enough to kind of take the leap? We have a lot of tools in our arsenal to kind of pique people's interest and hopefully get them to take that first step. And visuals are a big part of that. And then another is music. So pretty early on, we got excited about the idea of creating these essentially soundscapes for each scent. And they exist in a little audio player on our website. And the goal is really to kind of capture the essence of the story and a little short composition of music for people.
Thank you. All right, we are going to take a break. We will continue our conversation with Laura Oberwetter and Caleb Vandenboom, co-founders of Clue Perfumery in Chicago, which began in 2022. Laura's goal is in part to convey the essences of her fragrances with sound. This is from another one of their scents. It's called Warm Bulb. This is The 21st Show. If you're just joining us, this is The 21st Show. We're talking with Laura Oberwetter and Caleb Vandenboom, co-founders of Clue Perfumery in Chicago, which she started in 2022. Part of what they do, obviously making a perfume is one thing. You have to find a way to connect with people. They do that through visuals. They also do that through sound. So one of the questions we are talking about today is, what does sound smell like? What do smells sound like? How do these things relate to each other? Laura, what goes into brainstorming? Talk about like the earliest phases of coming up with a new scent.
That's probably one of my favorite parts. I think pretty much all of the scents that we've done so far start from a vignette of a scene. And then it's the whole process is trying to compress that vignette into something that you can smell, which is the process or the product that we end up with, but also something that you can see, which is all the design work that Caleb puts in. And then something that you can potentially hear, which are these soundscapes that we've created. So I guess, for example, the first formula that I finished for Clue was Morel Map. And that started from this idea of how can we translate the process of hunting for morel mushrooms in the springtime in Wisconsin into a perfume. So this is something that Caleb and I have done every spring for the last many years. It's kind of a Wisconsin tradition to go out into the woods in like the April, May months and start trying to look for morel mushrooms, which are these really rare, really delicious mushrooms that only grow under super particular circumstances. I mean, that was kind of a classical start to a scent where you have this scene that you can kind of look around and say, what's growing right now? What's the temperature outside? What's the humidity? And how do we translate those into materials? So some are real materials that exist in a perfumer's organ. So for example, that scent has some wood violet in it, and that's like a classic perfumery material. But then some you have to get a little creative with, like, how can I use the materials in my organ to create the sense of humidity or dampness or wet dirt. That's kind of the process we go through. And then the final testing point is, can you smell the perfume and say, yeah, it takes me there. Like, I do feel like I'm in the woods. I do feel like I'm bending down into the dirt, rustling through dead leaves, and I'm finding these mushrooms.
I love the phrase here on the back of I'm looking at a sample right here. It says dead elm tree forest. There's a comma in there. Dead elm tree, comma, forest floor. How literally is that part of the ingredients here?
I mean, the literalness is such an important part to us. It's kind of the most exciting line to dance when I'm formulating. I try to be as literal as possible while having the scent still smell good. So when it says dead elm tree, I am using materials like woods that come from Wisconsin, elm trees, but adding a little bit of kind of funk and decay so that that impression feels true without kind of becoming a sickly mess. We still want the perfume to be beautiful.
So I'm smelling it now. You were kind enough to send some samples so we could actually have a real example to talk about here. I'm smelling Morel Map. Talk to me about how you describe this to someone.
I've lovingly described it as the dirt under your fingernails when you're hunting in the woods. It's very wet. It's very green. It's very true to how a forest smells. It's so fun to describe fragrance because there's so many different ways that someone could say this smells leafy. But Morel is a really kind of like crunchy, dried, dark leafiness rather than like a bright green, verdant leafiness. Yeah, it feels kind of authentically Midwestern.
I like that. And I got to say, though, like if people are thinking like, boy, that sounds like I'm going to sneeze a lot, right? Like if you take it too literally, it almost sounds unpleasant. This is very pleasant, though. It's not.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Yeah. Caleb, maybe you can come in and just talk about then, you know, taking the next step. So you know, Laura has the scent. You've thought about, now you're thinking about visuals. You're thinking about the words. How do you think about the music? How do you apply sound to scent?
I love that we're leading with this one because it's kind of one of the first ones that we really kind of rallied the project around. And Laura had many different trials and iterations of this one. It's like we said, it's a story close to our heart. And early on, I think one of the first kind of steps is that we choose a color to represent the scent. So we get a giant Pantone book out. Laura and I both kind of like sit around it and think about which shade of, in this case, green it is to us individually. And then we sort of deliberate over the exact right ones. That's kind of like a first building block for us in terms of building the visuals out. You know, for each scent, we like to work with different artists and collaborators. And so we found an illustrator that we really love for that one. We ended up actually taking imagery out during one of our hunts, you know, kind of foraging. And in terms of the music portion, we worked with a good friend of ours named Alex Coven on that audio bite. And really, we kind of walked him through the story. We showed him some of the visuals in progress, you know, of course, had him smell the fragrance. And then we left it open to him to sort of take his interpretation of where it could go. You know, he was kind of referencing some very green, earthy, plant-like ambient albums. Like I know he referenced Hiroshi Yoshimura's album Green, and then the Plantasia record. I don't know if you're familiar, but that was a piece of music made to help plants grow, was the original intention. So I think he synthesized some of those references along with our notes, along with the color, the visuals we had been building to kind of create that little sound bite of music.
I want to play a clip from Fabio Luisi, who's principal conductor of the Danish National Symphony Orchestra and music director of the Dallas Symphony Orchestra and the founder of FL Parfums. This is from CBS Sunday Morning.
Can you distinctly tell that it's a different part of your brain working from when you're conducting to when you're using your nose and...
Hard to say, actually not. It feels similar.
Oh, I loved that clip. I do think, I mean, for me, it feels like a really parallel process of stimuli. I've never been a musician, but I've always been super into music. Caleb and I both did college radio, and I used to book shows in college. The same way that I loved listening to and experiencing music, I loved and experiencing scents. They sort of scratch the same itch for me. But I think that one of the things that makes them really easy to kind of experience hand in hand is the sort of lack of vocabulary a lot of people have when they try to describe how a scent smells. And I find that the vocabulary that we use to describe music fits really, really nicely and like is nearly just as effective. So when you're listening to music and you can tell that an element is really high-pitched or tinny or heavy, those are the same words that I'm using to describe the materials that I'm evaluating to put into a formula.
When we're working on something new, Laura and I are trading songs all the time. And I think that we're always kind of looking for things out in the world that are inspiring us. And I think that, you know, having, we have many visual references, color references, et cetera, for kind of shaping the story around a scent. And music is a big part of that as well. We have kind of a giant playlist that we've accumulated for this new one that we're working on together.
Let me take a moment to reintroduce our conversation. If you're just joining us, it's the 21st show. We are listening back to an interview I conducted last week with Laura Oberwetter and Caleb Vandenboom, the co-founders of Clue perfumery. They work to unite not only the scents that Laura makes, but they work to unite those with visuals and sounds. I asked them about Septimus Peace, who in the 19th century made a scent scale matching musical notes to different scents.
That's amazing. So, I mean, one extremely tangible way that that ties into perfume making is it's the tool, I guess, that I use. My toolbox for making perfume is called an organ. And that's classically what perfumers work on. It's basically like wall-mounted shelves or a desk with a bunch of shelves that sort of encompass you in these rows and rows of vials, all containing different materials. It's called an organ, not only because it kind of looks like an organ, but also because each of those materials is a note, the same way that an organ plays notes. So not only like do I see a possibility of creating a scale that's connecting pitch and tone to scents, but it's also just functionally kind of how we work. You sit there and you look at all of the notes in your arsenal, and it's about putting them together in a new way.
I want to ask how you've been influenced by other innovations in this space. There's, if I'm saying this right, Orchestre Parfum is creating music tied to their perfumes. Some are named Piano Santel. There's another company that tried to mimic the sound of a vintage guitar. There's a perfumer based in Stockholm that's putting out house or techno music on SoundCloud. Is this the way of the future?
I mean, I think it's something that is so inherently interesting and enticing and exciting to try to connect these senses. And I think people are kind of like intoxicated by the fact that there seems to be similarity in how we process these. Like, it kind of feels magical that you can smell a lemon and say, this smells like a high-pitched ding of a triangle, and somebody else smells a lemon and says, yeah, I see that. I totally get that. It feels kind of like a novel way of connection and a novel way of interpreting artistic stimuli. And I love that more and more people are putting these projects together. I'm excited to look into some of those references that you just gave. We haven't seen some of those.
Credit to producer Harrison for doing the deep work.
Good job,
on
Harrison.
This. Maybe we should ask about another scent here, and one that intrigues me so much on multiple levels is the point. I've not been a big scent person in my life, but I do love reading about it. I don't know if you recall, you may be too young, the New York Times had a fragrance columnist for some years.
Oh, yeah.
A way
Chandler
back.
Burr.
Yes. And I just, the writing was so great. And, if he loved something, it was beautifully written. If he didn't, it was entertainingly written. I remember once something was described as being like a insecticide trapped inside an aluminum can or something like that. So maybe you can talk a little bit about the point. I love this idea that it's a cup of jasmine tea and a cartoon drawing of jasmine tea at the same time.
That scent was inspired by a specific scene from the movie The Point, which was a animated film from, I believe, 69 or 71. But it's a soundtrack to the Harry Nilsson album that's also called The Point. And it's like this beautiful kind of psychedelic fable about a boy born with a round head in a community where everybody has a pointy head or a point. So it's kind of this analogy of like finding your point in life. So the scent is based off of a scene in that film where a cup of jasmine tea falls into the ocean, and it's eaten by a fish, and that fish is eaten by a fish, and then it's eaten by a whale, and it decomposes. So it gave this awesome source of inspiration where all of the notes that we were going to use were displayed on the scene in this really kind of vibrant, psychedelic display. So the whale decomposing is a beautiful reference to ambergris, which is kind of this storied ingredient in perfumery that is the product of decomposing whale bile. So yeah, we just kind of took that as inspiration and ran with it. And the trials that were coming out of this one for me were another kind of funny exercise in seeing the relation between sight and smell and sound and smell, because I went into it really wanting the perfume to kind of sound the way that song sounded. But I kept kind of saying to myself that the trials were too bright and too vibrant. And then I kind of caught myself saying, like, does this smell too cartoony? And then had to say, it is based on a cartoon. It should smell cartoony. So the end result, we really think, is kind of true to how the scene looks. It's bright, it's puffy, it's like there's no dankness in that ocean, there's no animalic qualities in that jasmine tea. It is like very, very kind of pure, naive, psychedelic brightness.
I think that's a great note on which to end, because we will end with the soundscape for Clue Perfumery's scent called The Point. Laura Oberwetter and Caleb Vandenboom, this was great. Thank you so much for taking time to talk with us.
Thank you so much, Brian.
Thanks for having us. Real pleasure.
You can find out more about Clue Perfumery on our website, 21stshow.org. That's it for us today. The 21st Show is produced by Christine Hatfield, Harrison Malkin, and Jose Zepeda. Our digital producer is Kulsum Khan. Technical direction and engineering from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick's our news director. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.